This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi wa la kitaba ba'da kitabihi wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atihi. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Sadaqallahu alazim. My dear respected mothers and sisters, we begin by praising Almighty Allah. Allah has made us believers. Allah has made us from amongst the ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast and Allah Ta'ala keep us upon this creed and upon this millat and upon this deen till the day we die, inshallah, and resurrect us upon this deen. Salutations be upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is undoubtedly our greatest benefactor. The topic that we have at hand today, mothers and sisters, is an interesting topic, motherhood in the 21st century. Now, many people would say, what is the difference between being a mother in the earlier stages or earlier time, or compared to being in the 21st century? Well, in certain instances, some of the things won't change. Some of the essentials, some of the foundations would not change. However, there would be certain challenges that are today that were not previously there. I think anyone who is a mother, anyone who is a parent, would not be oblivious of the fact that to be a parent today is far more challenging than it was before. And while certain essentials will remain the same, certain aspects with regard to giving tarbiyah, giving a good upbringing to our children will remain the same, there are certain challenges that we need to be aware of. And I think it will be fair to say that in some situations, the topic would be relevant for what the time that we are living in. Firstly, let me start saying there is no doubt whatsoever, motherhood is a very great privilege, something that inshallah, and I hope I don't forget, but inshallah, if I don't forget before I conclude, I wanted to tell you something about how fortunate are those who are mothers. And our children are also a tremendous joy. Children are a tremendous joy. Although sometimes, I suppose many people will say, they are definitely a joy in the earlier stages of being childhood, in the infancy. But when they become 14, 15, 16, sometimes parents will actually question, what are you talking about a joy? We're trying to see the joy. And it's not sometimes easy to see the joy when there are challenges in parenting children who are in their teenage years. And there is no doubt whatsoever that it is very challenging. And when we talk about parenting and we talk about, parenting and motherhood in the 21st century, we're not talking about small children. There is no doubt that small children are a joy. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, children are the flowers of Almighty Allah. Subhanallah, what a beautiful description. And once our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on the minbar, he was giving a talk, when Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhum came into the masjid and they were small children, bearing in mind that they were about 7 years when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed on. So when our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw them coming, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam couldn't bear them stumbling and walking towards the front. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got off the minbar. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to go and fetch them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hugged them. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said, verily, Allah Ta'ala has so correctly said that your children are a trial unto you. And then Nabi Karim Sawasam said, your children make you miserly and your children make you a coward. Because in every parent would identify with that. Children make you in a many ways cowards, make you miserly. You start thinking only about your wealth towards the children, the future of the children. So this is the reality. Nabi Karim Sawasam on one occasion made a very long salah. So in the long salat, sahaba after salat said, Ya Rasulullah, you made such a long salat that we never see you making such a long salat. Oh, my companions, my granddaughter Umama was sitting on my back when I went into Sijda. And I felt afraid. And I didn't want to disturb her. Therefore, I waited till she got off my back, and then only I got up from the Sijda. So these are children. They are the joy of every parent, and sometimes even the grandparents. They are the joy of the grandparents, and Allah Ta'ala has made them such. Allah has put their love into the hearts of the parents, grandparents. Therefore, we are obliged, and we feel compelled to look after them. You know, it is amazing. And I'm going to speak very informally today. I'm not going to speak like in a formal lecture. It is amazing that Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran does not tell parents to love children. Nowhere in the Quran, in the Hadith, does Allah Ta'ala tell parents to love children. But repeatedly, Allah Ta'ala have to tell children to love and to obey and to look after their parents. Huh? Because parents' love for children is natural. It is instinctive. Unfortunately, we cannot say the same with regard to children. Therefore, one mother can look after 5 or 6 children. 6 children can't look after one mother. In today's time, it is becoming more evident. One mother will look after 4, 5, 6 children, and she will find it no burden, and she will do it easily. But 6 children towards the end of the mother's life will find it difficult to look after one mother. And that is why Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran does not ask parents to love their children, because it comes naturally. But Allah Ta'ala repeatedly tells the children about the virtue of looking after their parents. Be good to your parents. If one of them or both of them become old, then do not even say oof to them in disrespect. Show respect to them, honor them. But of course, I suppose today that is a topic for another day. One of the things that is quite amazing about the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ إِنَّكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. If one of them or both of them become old, then do not even say oof to them in disrespect. Now, in today's time, many a time, children look at parents who become old, that they become a burden, they become difficult. And obviously, when you become old, there is a certain degree of difficult nature that comes into your tabiat and your temperament. You become, you know, set in your ways. You sometimes become stubborn. And many a times, you know, the Western world, modern world tell us, oh, your parents have become difficult, you know, get them away from your house, put them in an old age home. May we be sacrificed upon our religion. Our religion tells us the exact opposite. Our religion tells us this is the time now for you to gain Jannah by serving them. This is the time now for you to gain Jannah by serving them. Therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi on one occasion said, may that person be destroyed. May that person be destroyed. May that person be destroyed. Ya Rasulullah, who are you saying? And who are you making dua against that they must be destroyed? Oh my Sahaba, I'm making dua for those people that we destroyed who find one or both of their parents in old age and they fail to gain Jannah by serving their parents. Subhanallah. Anyway, that is a topic for another day. Today we are talking about motherhood and we're talking about parenthood. Maybe one day we will speak about the rights of parents to the appropriate forum. Here we're talking about the rights of children upon parents. And just as children are a joy, children are a very great responsibility. A responsibility which Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Hadith have, you know, emphasized upon us with regard to it. Therefore, in one Hadith, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that children, each and every child, kullu mawlud yuladu ala al-fitrah. Each and every child is born on an innocent nature. Fa abawahu yahuddanihi aw yunassiranihi aw yumajjasanihi. It is the parents, through the means of training, who makes the child into a Jew, a Christian, a fire worshipper, or whatever the child will become. Whatever the child will become depends, not entirely, I won't use the word entirely, but I will use the word largely, upon the training that they will get from their parents. The reason why I won't say entirely is because many a times there are situations that come upon things, and the situation of the upbringing of the children goes beyond you. Environment plays a role, friends play a role. Sometimes they get involved in wrong company. So sometimes it can be beyond the parents. But what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, each and every child is born on an innocent nature. It is the parents who make it what it eventually becomes. So the first thing is, together with the joy, you know, parenting is a very, very great responsibility. And today the responsibility is even more. I remember reading once, I saw a book which I purchased and I read it. You know, it was very interesting, captioned, "Parenting isn't for cowards." You know, and that is the reality. Parenting isn't for cowards. Parenting is a very, very great responsibility. Sometimes we make a joke with regard to it. They say a child came, you know, with very, very bad marks to the parents. And of course, we always get all those type of things that children sometimes make their own marking. They make their own signing also when their marks are not very good. So one day a child came with a report that was not very good. So the father was a very great professional, and you know the parents were very well educated. So the parent and the father put a thumbprint on the report when it has to be given in assigned. So the child said that, why are you giving a thumbprint? I mean, you are quite, you know, you are a chartered accountant, you are professional. Why don't you sign? Why don't you put a thumbprint? So the father replied, and the parent replied and said, "I'm not going to make it known to the child, to the teachers, or to the school that I am so well educated when you are bringing such poor results." You know, so that is the reality with regard to it. The first thing with regard to the responsibility, learn to respect your children. Learn to respect your children. And this might be something that people will say, "I know respect is more for the parents rather than the children," and there's no doubt. And I've made mention of it in the beginning stages of the talk. But also learn to give, you know, learn to give importance to your children. One day, a parent came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he complained about his child. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very disappointed. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he went, he called the child, and the child gave him his side of the story, that my father and my doesn't give me any importance, doesn't listen, doesn't care, doesn't give me time, and all of those particular matters that he started speaking. So then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, and he called the father and he said, "You know, you came to complain to me about your child, and when my child told me things about you, I've come to realize that, you know, you are also to be blamed. You are also to be blamed. Give importance to your children. Give time to your children." You know, there's this one hypothetical incident which is made mention on social media. Sometimes all of this, not every matter of social media is good, but not everything is bad also. So this one child, one day, you know, the father was very angry with him, didn't do his homework or whatever it was. And, you know, so despite the father being angry with him, you know, the father, while in a state of anger, he didn't do something. And I will bring that to that. You must remember that children like to be validated. They like to be affirmed. So therefore, a child sometimes would like to be recognized even if it is a bad child, rather than not being recognized and shunned as a good child. Remember what I'm saying? A child would like to be recognized and to be affirmed and to be validated, even if it's a bad child, rather than being shunned and ignored by being a good child. Why do you see when children, many a times in young age, when you see that they all of a sudden, you know, they play truant, they have tantrums, and you'll see that many a times when the mother gets another child, and you'll see that this child all of a sudden, you know, throw tantrums. Why is it throwing tantrums? Many a times it is throwing tantrums because it has been ignored. So he feels by throwing tantrums, it's going to be recognized. It's going to be validated. It's going to be given time. So children need time. So this particular incident goes something like this. So even in that state of anger, the father, the child asks the father for, you know, 100, 200 rand. He said, "Give me 200 rand. Father became even more angry. "First of all, you did something that was wrong, and now you're asking me 200-300 rand." So anyway, shouted the child. The child went to go and sleep. And while the child went to go and sleep, the father felt a sense of guilt. The father, mother felt a sense of guilt and went into the room to say, "You know, oh my child, we're so sorry we did this to you. You know, we overreacted. Maybe we shouted you more. But why did you want the 200 rand? You know, all right, take this 200 rand. So the father gives the child the 200 rand, and when the father gives the 200 rand, takes out another 200 rand from under its cushion, and that particular 300 rand is sort of crumbled, it's worn out, and the child gives the father and says, father, during the course of you speaking to me, you said you are so busy and you are such a professional that you demand and you command 500 rand or 1,000 rand per hour in your professional fees, in your professional career. Here, take this 500 rand, give me half an hour of your time. Take this 500 rand, give me half an hour of your time. That is the responsibility that we owe to children. So just as children are a very great joy, they are a responsibility. And Allah Ta'ala will question us with regard to that responsibility. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, each and every one of you is a shepherd to the flock that you are under your control, and you will be questioned with regard to those who are under your control. Allah will question the parents with regard to the children. What will Allah Ta'ala question? The first thing, before we talk about some of the challenges of the 21st century, one is spirituality. It is our responsibility as parents to be able to bring up our children with religious and spiritual values. We have to bring it. It's an important part of our duty as parents. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسَلُكَ رِزْكَ نَحْنُ نَرْزُكُكَ. Allah Ta'ala says in the last page of the 16th Supara in Surah Taha, command your children and command your family to perform salat, and you yourself, you must be steadfast upon it. لَا نَسَلُكَ رِزْكَ. We don't ask you for risk. We don't ask you for the provision. We will provide for them. Allah says, we all take it as a responsibility to take care of our children's financial and material needs. And there is no doubt whatsoever that it is our responsibility. But Allah says, I will give it. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. First ayat of the 12th Supara of the Holy Quran, 12 Jews. There is not any particular creature. The responsibility of the risk of that person is in the hands of Almighty Allah. Allah provides. Allah uses you to provide for your children. Allah gives your children via you. And how many times we see, and I've seen it so many times, when you are young, you are still growing up, you got a certain degree of risk Allah gives you. All of a sudden you got children, automatically your risk increases. It's in reality, it's not only your doings that your business all of a sudden flourished. It is Allah Ta'ala who has created that. Allah knows that now you got children, Allah Ta'ala grants you increase in risk to be able to look after the children. Allah is providing for them, but through the means of you. So Allah Ta'ala says, I command you to see that your children must perform salat. You must see to it. The risk which you regard as a responsibility, I will take care of it. This particular incident I like making mention of, it's something that is an amazing thing. It is, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's incident is very, very amazing. It is something that each and every one of us, we are aware of that incident. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was away from his father for 40 years, right? And then afterwards, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran said, after 40 years, one day he's telling his friends who he's sitting around, he's now in his old age, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرَ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. He's telling his friends, I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ظَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. And his friends tell him, you have gone astray. 40 years ago, Yusuf has vanished. Where can you smell the fragrance of Yusuf? And at that particular time, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had come to know from his brothers, he has revealed himself to his brothers, that he is Yusuf, he is still alive, he is the most important person in Egypt. And when he asked about, he became a Nabi, his father was a Nabi, and he asked his siblings, how is my father? Our father is blind. So Yusuf alayhi salam at that particular time had sent a small garment of his, and that garment he had sent it, go and give it to my father and tell him to put it on his eyes, he will regain his sight. فلما أن جاء البشير ألقاه على وجهه فارتد بصيرا. When they came and he put it in his eyes, you know, he regained his sight. قال ألم أقول لكم. He said, did I not tell you that I could smell the fragrance of Yusuf? How Allah Ta'ala works. You know, when Yusuf was in the well, just a few kilometers away from him, he couldn't smell it. And then he was sold into slavery, went into another country, became the most important person of that country. After 40 years, Allah Ta'ala made him smell the fragrance and the presence of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now go and look at the books of history. They said, Yaqub alayhi salam, he asked and he said, how is my Yusuf? Tell me, how is my Yusuf? So the brother said, he is the most important person in Egypt. He is the king of Egypt. So Yaqub alayhi salam said, I'm not asking you if he is the king of Egypt or not. I'm asking you what is the state of his iman. I'm asking you what is the state of his iman. How is he in terms of his deen? My dear respected mothers, that is our first responsibility. Whether it be motherhood in the 21st century or many other times, this is a reality. What have we done to give deen to our children? And what is the use if you give them all the material things and you have not given them deen, you have not given them spirituality, you have not equipped them Islamically with regard to fulfilling their responsibility? And in this regard, the first thing would be, I'm not saying that it is easy today. First of all, we must understand the challenge. It was Stephen Covey who wrote that famous book, you know, very famous book, and sometimes you read it, and one of that, sometimes it's good to read, and sometimes you get one or two things that you pick up. And one of the things that he said was, you know, interesting. He said, first seek to understand before being understood. First seek to understand before being understood. First seek to understand. You want to give your children a good upbringing. You want to give them good spiritual values. First seek to understand the challenges they are facing before they can understand you. You are faced and they are dealing with an environment that we as, you know, really, we as middle-aged can only, you know, maybe understand to an extent, but we cannot fully comprehend. At the tip of the button, they can have access to the most tempting, even if it is disastrous, even if it is harmful, even if it is harmful to their physical and spiritual self, but it's enticing, it is tempting. At the tip of the button, they can access things that previously people had to undergo or had to take risk of being found out if they had to do something like that. They have access to temptation that you and I, as elderly age, we can only, you know, dream about or think about it. We'll never be able to fully comprehend. You know, I'm not saying dream about it in a positive sense, but I'm just saying to say that that is a reality. They have access to things that was never available to us, was never available to people who are middle-aged. And normally they say this, middle-aged parents are very obedient lot, you know. We are a very obedient lot. Those who are sort of 50, 55, you know, at that particular age, we are very obedient. When we were small, we obeyed our parents. Now when we are big, we obey our children. There is a reality with regard to our situation. First, understand, ya Allah, what is a situation with regard to what and what you feel. You know, it's amazing the type of things that you have now. How do people deal with it? What do you do when you find this particular type of situation? I mean, really, it was so easy for parents in the past. You know, they used to say that children must be seen, not heard. And we used to behave like that. We used to be seen and we never used to voice our opinion. What the parents told us, sit, we said, sit. They told us, jump, we say, how high? That was a reality with regard to it. Today, it doesn't happen that way. Now, in this particular type of situation, what do you do? How do you deal with parenthood? There are few methods of parenting, which the modern day people tell us. One is authoritarian, you know, where you just say, I make the rules, you listen to it. As long as you're living in my house, you will live by my rules. But there are those type of parents who see, you know, really, in many times, that is a false type of control you feel you have. Many a times you might be able to bring about and say, there in this house, things happen according to what I say. I am the boss of the house. Whether you are in reality is a different matter, you know. So this is a reality. How much the father has control, how much the parents have control is a different matter. But authoritarian, that is one way of dealing. One is permissiveness. Permissiveness means that, you know, I don't care. You know, and there are many parents in today's time who don't care. It seems to be the Western type of situation where, right, once they come 15, 16, it is their life, let them lead their life. We will help them, we will advise them, but we don't take control, or we don't say anything about the choices they make. So if they want to be this way, so be it. If they want to be that way, so be it. It's a permissive type of parenting. That is also another way, right? And then another type of situation which happens is, you know, a negotiator, you know, someone who nurtures, who sets limits. And, you know, it might be, you know, a difficult type of thing, but in today's time, I'm going to be the one who says that, listen, that authoritarian way of parenting, that controlling way of parenting, it's not going to work. Many times you think you got control, but behind the scenes, because of your apparent harshness, children might remain silent, but be inside. They might be having different types of questions because you didn't allow a freedom or a situation for them to vent whatever they had to do. They kept everything inside. One day it will come out and you will be disappointed. So this particular authoritarian type of parenting and this particular thing, my way or the highway, really in today's time might be working again. I'm not giving foolproof solutions. I'm just sort of making mention with regard to some of the things. The other way, permissiveness, but we don't believe in that. Where a child can go and do anything, whatever he wants, we are not responsible. We as Muslim parents, we don't believe in that particular model because Allah Ta'ala has made us responsible. There's another way. And you know, someone had said, punishment suppresses behavior. Discipline changes behavior. We are not supposed to just punish our children. And in South Africa now, you have a situation that to punish your child, even in your own homes, is constitutionally outlawed. Now, whether it is right or not, it's a different matter. That is a reality. You know, I got my own theory with regard to it. You know, I always believe in one theory. Maybe while I am at it, let me just believe. I believe that Allah Ta'ala has kept the middle path. Whenever anyone goes away from the middle path, departs from the middle path and goes to any one of the extremes, and if they don't come back to the middle path, Allah will make the pendulum swing to the other extreme. This is my view. I've seen it many a times. There was no doubt whatsoever. Our society 40, 50 years was in one extreme with regard to punishing children. It was on one extreme. I'll tell you myself, when I came back to after I studied, right? After I studied and I taught children, we didn't have any other method that was in front of us as teachers to teach children other than to beat them up. We had no other way. That was the only way that was open up to us. And that was parents, they did that. Teachers did that. We didn't regulate ourselves. We didn't moderate ourselves. The pendulum has swung now to the other extreme. Now you can't even hit them because we didn't regulate ourselves. So this is a reality. So punishment suppresses behavior. Discipline changes behavior. A time has come in terms of methods of parenting that I will make mention of. Now is a time for you to sit with your children and set limits with them. Nurture them. To tell them, I don't have the smartphone. I don't know if it will work. Well, if it works, alhamdulillah, any parent who's got a model to keep his children 15, 16, 17, 18 years away from a phone, and if they got a particular model that they have got right, I would like to share it. I would like to hear from them how they got it right. But actually what happens is if you don't give it to your children, they grow up feeling inferior, they grow up feeling unloved, they feel and they see all of their friends having it, they feel their parents haven't given it. It makes them feel deprived, which leads them to an inferiority complex. And when it leads them to an inferiority complex, it has other harms. It has other harms. And the worst thing in today's time is for a child to grow up with an inferiority complex. It will be my next point. Just inshallah, I will make mention with regard to it. Now the time has come to nurture and to set limits with your children. Sit with them. Tell them the harms of Facebook. Tell them the harms of social media. Tell them the harms of the phone. And be open with regard to them. Tell them that I'm going to allow you usage up to this particular limit. If you abuse it, I'm going to take away that particular privilege. You're going to have to sit with them. You're going to have to explain to them. You're going to have to be with them. And you are going to have to tell them. And then you nurture and you set limits. You are not in a position today's time to isolate your children with regard to what is happening. You are not in a situation today to insulate your children from what is happening. Whether you tell them or you don't tell them. Someone said very beautifully that today to teach the children the facts of life. There used to be a time when parents used to have a special sitting to tell the children with regard to the facts of life. You know, you're becoming a baligh boy, you're becoming a baligh girl. There are certain hormones, there are certain temptations, there are certain desires. They say nowadays to teach your children about the facts of life is like teaching a fish how to swim. They know it before what you know it. Right? So now what's the time? Now is the time for you to nurture and to learn to set limits. That is the thing with regard to it. So in that particular way, you do that. And of course, there's no foolproof, but in this way, you are equipping them in a better way than to deal with the challenges, than to think that you are going to isolate or insulate them. Don't isolate them, inoculate them. Huh? Don't isolate them, inoculate them. Inoculate them that, listen, this is the harms. These are the challenges. I'm allowing you, but I'm also warning you. It's not always foolproof. Maybe they might, here and there, you know, step the limit. But inshallah, that will be perhaps, again I'm saying perhaps. The third thing that I would like to make mention with regard to children is the aspect of peer pressure. Wallahi al-Azim, I don't think we can ever understand the real challenge of peer pressure. Peer pressure means the pressure from the friends to be able to conform to what is the norm amongst the friends of your age. Not to conform to the ideas and the norms of someone who is 40, 50 years of age. To conform to a child who is 15, 16 years. And really, this is a reality. Many a times I find many, many parents are very idealistic when their children are 4, 5, 6. And the reality comes in when they are 14, 15, 16. And there are exceptions, and I do accept it that there are exceptions. But by and large, it is very challenging. Then you find really difficult you find them all of a sudden want to be with friends, want to go out, want to do this, want to do that, and you're not always happy with it. How do you deal with it? So the one aspect is because it's all peer pressure. And peer pressure, I always tell people, peer pressure is not only for people who are young, right? It is even for people who are matured. In our history, there's an incident. Many people might have heard about this incident. What is that incident? The incident is about Abu Talib. Abu Talib, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, helped Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam throughout his life, right? And Abu Talib, at the time when he was on his deathbed, you know, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to his uncle. Oh, my uncle, you helped me throughout my life. You didn't allow people to just ride roughshod over me. You protected me. And there was no doubt, if it was not for Abu Talib, the Quraysh would have harmed Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even greater. That is from the asbab, from the means point of view, right? Oh, my uncle, say one time in my ear, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Don't tell anyone else. Just say it in my ear. Just say it once in my ear. I will intercede before Allah on the day of judgment that my uncle said the kalima. Oh, my uncle, say one time the kalima, La ilaha illallah. And because Abu Talib was so influential, Abu Jahl and everyone was there. And Abu Jahl just taunted Abu Talib once. And what did he say? Oh, Abu Talib, for the sake and for the fear of your nephew's Jahannam, are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers? Oh, Abu Talib, for the fear of your nephew's Jahannam, are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers? This is peer pressure. And an experienced person like Abu Talib could not bear the peer pressure. He did not bring iman because of the peer pressure. Now, can you imagine that peer pressure that impacted upon a person who was matured like Abu Talib? What is going to do with our children? And that is where I'm saying, that's where I made mention of the point before. If you give your children confidence, they are more likely to be able to bear the pressure of peer pressure than to leave them with an inferiority complex. If you do not give them, and you do not trust them, and if you do not show them love, then they, wherever they get that first love, or at least what they perceive to be that love, they will then run in that direction. Why is it you see so many times, how many parents, they feel disappointed. They have done so much. They haven't given their children confidence. They have been sort of harsh upon their children. That particular child, 18, 19 years old, whether it be a boy or girl, you know, gets love. Sometimes that love might be phony. That love might be something that he gets from the opposite gender. All of a sudden gone. Away from your control. Why? Because you didn't give it confidence. You didn't give it love. And children, no matter how independent they feel, they want to be affirmed. They want to be validated. They want to that love. Even if they show otherwise. And, you know, we say, you know, follow our kabirin, follow our elders, follow our ulama. But we are very selective in what our ulama tell us. I have heard from people like Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one of our greatest, you know, scholarly person who came to our country. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would say, now the time has come for you to befriend your children. Now the time has come for you to befriend your children, not to be like the parents of, you know, yesteryear. You know, my way or the highway. Now the time for you is to befriend your children. And it is something that is in our books. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, La'ibuhum bisab'in. Play with your children for 7 years. First 7 years, let them play. La'ibuhum bisab'in. There is no laws of Islam or laws of Sharia that is upon them. So whatever you do, you try to bring it to inculcate a habit. It's not compulsory upon them. Play with your children for 7 years. Addibuhum bisab'in. Then the next 7 years, you discipline them. That if you want to create the right type of discipline, create it between 7 and 14. Right? After 14, they're not going to listen to you. Then what did he say? Khalliluhum bisab'in. After that, befriend them. Huh? Play with them for 7 years. Discipline them for the next 7 years. That's the time to discipline them, where they are most likely to be able to be disciplined. After 14, they're not going to listen to you. Then you must befriend them. You must become their friends. I'm going to say something. Even if it is difficult, you must create such an environment in your homes. This is what I'm talking of motherhood in the 21st century. I don't think 50 years ago, you know, anyone, any alim would have told this to parents. I'm going to say that you must create such an environment in your home that even if the child has done something that is wrong, or even if the child is inclined towards something that is wrong, or if the child is inclined to someone of the opposite gender, you must create such an environment in the home that the first port of call for the child must be the parents. May Allah Ta'ala forbid that he's got a situation with regard to someone in the opposite gender and he goes and tells his friends. And his friends go and tell him, hey, this is something smart for you, man. You go and enjoy yourself. Just imagine that he has to go to a friend who gives him wrong advice at that time. You must create an environment in the home. It's very difficult to understand this for people who come from a conservative or other background. You must create an environment that if the child has to say anything, it must be open enough, and there must be such an environment in the house so that it can make mention with regard to it to his parents. And he doesn't have to go anywhere else for advice. And may Allah Ta'ala forbid that he has to go anywhere for advice, because out there are many people who don't give the best of advice. There will be people who will sort of take them for a ride. There will be people who will take advantage of them. So therefore, you create that particular situation with regard to your children. That is one of the things which is so important. And in this particular regard, let me also make mention of one or two small points. And one is learn to link your children up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the very beginning, learn to link up your children with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very, very important to link your children with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we say, you know, we tell them, you know, there is this one the ayat in the Holy Quran, Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa. Did you not find you to be an orphan or prophet of Almighty Allah? And we protected you. Right? So the ulama write that one of the benefits of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being an orphan is, you see, when people have parents tend to spoil their children, I suppose it's natural. But when a child is born an orphan, you don't get that type of pampering when you have parents. So in our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam situation, it was the wisdom of Almighty Allah that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grew up without parents because Allah directly intervened to become the spiritual, the guide for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? So here the ulama tell us that link your children to Allah. Like for example, you tell your child, go and clean your room. I don't like to see you do room dirty. I don't like to see your room dirty. Go and see how your room looks. You know, and instead of saying that, learn to say, you know, go and clean your room. Allah loves cleanliness. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Go and clean your room. Allah loves cleanliness. Go and perform your salat. Allah loves those who do this. So link your child to Allah. In today's time, you know, the greatest prevention for children to fall in the way of drugs, etc., is spirituality. You see, one of the reasons why children go onto drugs, and one of the reasons why they go into these negative habits, is because of a vacuum in their life. Right? A vacuum in their life. There is a vacuum in their life. There is something missing in their life. Now, the mistake you and I, and many a times as parents, we do, is we feel that that particular vacuum is going to be filled by material things. But Allah has never kept material things to fill a vacuum. Allah has never kept materialism to fill the inner contentment of your heart. Allah didn't keep. I mean, wow, let me give an example. You buy the best of toys for your child, 5, 6 years. He's crying for that toy. It's crying for that toy. You buy it. After two days, it's lying there in one corner. He forgot about it. 2 days before, it was crying that it was his entire survival, his entire happiness depended upon it. After 2 days, it's lying in one corner. Why? Allah didn't keep satisfaction in material things. Allah didn't keep contentment. It's a temporary type of contentment. You feel that it is there. What did Allah Ta'ala keep contentment in? Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. In the remembrance of Allah, this heart finds contentment. If you have not linked your child to Allah, you have not given it spirituality, you have not given it namaz, you have not given it Quran, the likelihood of that particular child to go into drugs is more than that the particular child who's got some religion, some ibadat, some Quran, some religion, some spirituality. And the reason is so clearly, if you have made entertainment the objective of your child, if you have made entertainment the objective of your child, where does it end? He's always going to be looking for entertainment. And for him, as he is told by his friends, drugs is a very, very good recreation. It's a very good entertainment. If you have made that the entire be-all and the end-all of your children, give them entertainment, make them happy, take them for holidays, do this and do that, without giving them spirituality, then what have you done? You have created a mindset for them to enjoy, 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 and where do they stop? Where does it stop? There is no end point with regard to entertainment. It just goes on and on. And if you don't create a situation of spirituality, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid they could go in that particular direction. And another important thing, link children to Allah Ta'ala. And then another point, be an ideal role model. Be an ideal role model to your children. Children love to see their parents being ideal role models. Therefore, you will find children will pick up double standards in their parents more than anyone else. They will pick up. You make a joke with regard to it. Go and tell the Jamaat, father is not here. And they will go and tell the Jamaat, papa say he's not here. They will make mention of all that. But they will see all of that. And then what face can you go and tell them afterwards to be honest? There was a recent, no, there wasn't recent, some time back, I read a very interesting article in the Times magazine that teenage children were asked that who do you want to be your role model? Who do you want to be your role model? Who do you want to look up to? 81% of teenage children said we want our parents to be our role models. 81% of the teenage children said we want our parents to be our role models. Be a role model to your children. They want to see. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala says, "Wa'mur ahlaka bis-salat wastabir 'alayha." Command your children to perform salat and you also be steadfast. You can't go and tell them perform salat and then you go and sleep. How is that going to happen? They'll never be able to learn the benefit and the value of salat. And learn to be encouraging. Learn to encourage. Wallahi al-Azim, to be, and today the time has come not to punish them and say, go and do this. Create a love for the children to be able to come towards deen. Create a love. That's what our beloved Nabi Karim saw. Nabi Karim saw, this is something that we must repeatedly tell people. You know, when this particular aspect of the constitutional court came and they said that it's now constitutionally outlawed for parents to hit their children, I said, we always say, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah. Nabi Karim saw, it is not recorded in the books of history that he ever lifted his hands upon anyone. Never ever. So I said, what difference does it make constitution? That's our constitution of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever lifted his hands upon his wives, never lifted upon his hands on his woman, on his children, on his slaves, on his servants, never ever lifted his hands. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's method, come I tell you, how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged people. Let me give you two examples. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala who says, you know, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day told him, Ya Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Ya Allah. What words. You know, we were going to Jordan many years back. And because I gave many bayans on Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, remarkable incidents, beautiful incidents about him. And we were going and we went to go and see the qabr of Shurahbil ibn Hasana and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah and Zayd ibn Haritha, the adopted son of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ja'far bin Abi Talib and Abdullah bin Rawah, all in one day. And I was looking forward to go and see the qabr of Mu'az ibn Jabal, and the driver said, it's already Maghrib time. Now if we go back to Amman, it'll be two. I was feel so disappointed. But later on, someone came and tell me, and he said, Mawlana, do you know, on the qabr of Mu'az is written these words. Ya Mu'az, inni uhibbuk. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, oh Mu'az, I love you. And then he told him, oh Mu'az, after every salat, read, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me in remembering you and remembering in making your ibadat and remembering and help me. Allahumma, oh Allah, help me in remembering you. Help me in being grateful to you and help me in making ibadat of you. Hazrat Mu'az said, after that, I never ever forgot these words. How can he forget it? When he was taught in such a way, how will we teach? Hey, gadara tu parni ave? Tu gadara tu koi parto ni? How is that way? Is that not the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Oh Mu'az, inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'az, I love you. Oh Mu'az, now in future, you know, say Allahumma inni ala dhikri. In such a way, he never forgot it. One day, Abu Bukra radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, he used to come a little late in the masjid. And when he used to come late in the masjid, he used to run to catch the rakat. Right? So we all know that before the imam gets up from ruku, if you get the namaz, you don't miss the salat, you don't miss the rakat. So Abu Bukra used to run. And one day he ran, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to know about it. And how did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam correct him? Ya Allah. Oh Abu Bukra, you know, you're running to the salat, you're running to the masjid to catch the rakat. Oh Abu Bukra, may Allah increase your enthusiasm. May Allah increase your enthusiasm to get the rakat. But next time, don't do like that. It is not appropriate for a person to run in the masjid. Oh Abu Bukra, may Allah increase your enthusiasm. But next time, don't do like that. That is the way Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught children. So although it is difficult, my dear respected mothers, time has also elapsed. Let me say two things, right? And I will conclude with this. One is, never underestimate the dua of the parent, especially the mother. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, three people's duas are not rejected. One is the dua of the parents for the child. Constantly make dua. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun wa ja'alna lilmuttaqina imama. Read it as much as possible. After every salat, read it. In the 19th supara, this dua is there. If you can, I'm not saying that is a must, and I'm not imposing upon you, try and read this dua 21 times in the morning. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun wa ja'alna lilmuttaqina imama. Right? Go and read this dua 21 times in the morning. Let me tell you another dua. Very easy dua, easier than this one. Right? And inshallah, I hope you will make dua, you know, bring it into your duas that you read, and inshallah it will benefit me and it'll benefit you also. in the morning and evening, after Fajr and after Maghrib, after reading Darud Sharif, read 7 times Ya Raqibu. So read 7 times Ya Raqibu. Allah is a protector. Allah protect our children. We can't be policemen for our children 24 hours. Read Ya Raqibu 7 times after Maghrib and after Fajr, in between Darud Sharif for your children. Through Thailand, du'as of the parents are very. One of our great ulama, who used to be an expert in understanding the eloquence of the Quran. I think his name was Baqillah. No, not Baqillani. Anyway, the name escaped me at this time. He came to Baghdad. When he came to Baghdad, people came to welcome him. That time the people used to come and welcome the alim, you know, outside the town. Thousands of people came to welcome him. And he used to walk with a limp. And when someone looked at him, you know, and he said, why are you looking at me like that? He said, I'm looking at you walking with a limp. He said, may I tell you what happened to me? He said, tell us. He said, one day I was playing with the birds and I was tying the bird's legs with a string, right? And as it was flying, I used to pull it, and the bird's legs used to break. And my mother told me, don't do like that, don't do like that. And I continued doing it. And my mother, out of extreme frustration and anger, said, may Allah make you the same. And today what you're seeing, this is my dua of my mother. You're seeing me limping, this is because of the dua of my mother. On the other hand, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi was blind. Right? He became blind in the early years. And mother used to make so much dua, he used to cry. And I had the good fortune of going to the qabr of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. And this particular, you know, incident is so, you know, touching to me because of visiting the qabr of this great personality. And one day the mother saw in a dream Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam giving her glad tidings. Go, because of your dua, Allah has given sight to your child. Next morning she got up, saw the child Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi at sight. Mother's duas are very, very important. Make dua for your children. Don't underestimate it. And let me conclude with this ayat which I read. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. You know, this is such an important thing. Sometimes, you know, can you imagine? Just imagine a scenario. Allah Ta'ala never make it happen to anyone. You're coming home one day and you're driving home, and all of a sudden you see around your home there's something, the fire brigades are rushing, and there is fire in the vicinity. Now you see, it must be someone's fire. Maybe it's a fell fire, or maybe it's a fire of some, you know, unused warehouse, etc. You come back and you say, listen, it's in my neighborhood. Still it doesn't sort of strike you. And all of a sudden you come near, this could be my house. You come near, it is at my house. Ya Allah, now you're worried what happened with regard to your children. Your children, you left them at home and now there's fire in the house. And you rush there. The fire brigade said, no, they've put in something. No one can go. You say, no, it's my house. They allow you to go by. And you got 3 children and you see your 2 children who are on the pavement, who are safe. And you said, alhamdulillah. Then the thought come and said, where's my 3rd child? Where's the 3rd child? And then you see, Aliyadu billah, Aliyadu lala, never allow anyone to see such a... And you see one of your child in the upper portion of the house screaming to you, oh my parent, oh my mother, oh my father, help me. You know, what will you do at such a time? I know what you'll do. You'll put your life at risk to go and save your child, man. That's what you'll do. Right? But that is what you will do here in this world. Allah tells us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara. Oh parents, save your children from Jahannam. Save that Jahannam, the fuel of that fire will be stones. Upon that particular fire, not fire brigades, angels won't allow you to go into that. This particular incident is a small reminder that save your children, find the ways, find the means, make dua, go and speak to them, give them advice. But it is your responsibility as parents to save them from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah give us a tawfiq of understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarak ta rabbana wa ta'alitina dhal jalali wal ikram. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ربنا أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطنا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم استر عوراتنا وامن رواتنا اللهم احفظنا واولادنا من بين ايدينا ومن خلفنا وعن ايماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ونعوذ بعزمتك ان نغتال من تحتنا يا الله يا ارحم الراحمين يا اول الاولين يا اخر الاخرين يا راحم الضعفاء والمساكين يا الله forgive all our shortcomings يا الله يا الله forgive all our shortcomings يا الله يا الله forgive all the guna and sins that we have done. Ya Allah, we are not proud with regard to the wrongs that we have done. Ya Allah, you have made mention through the means of your beloved Habib, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that anyone, Ya Allah, who turn towards you in repentance, Ya Allah, with regret, Ya Allah, you will turn towards them with forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are regretful of the wrong that we have done. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, make us perfect parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us good parents who can set the right model. Ya Allah, and the role model for our children who are living up in such great difficulty and challenging times. Ya Allah, protect our children. Ya Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes here in this world and provision for us in the year after. Ya Allah, we can't police our children 24 hours a day. Ya Allah, you protect them, Ya Allah. If ever they take a path leading towards that which is wrong, if ever they take a path leading towards that which is negative, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you catch their hands and bring them back upon the right path, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not let them take a path which is harmful to them, harmful to the deen, harmful to the society. Ya Allah, you protect our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us be good role models to our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you help them, Ya Allah. You protect them from all types of difficulty. Ya Allah, never let us see the difficulty of our children. Ya Allah, let them be provisions for us in the year after, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, your beloved Habib has made mention to us, Ya Allah, that on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be on the scales of his good deeds, and all of a sudden he will see a great amount of good deeds coming upon the scale of his good deeds, and he will ask the angels, what is this? And the angel will say, you left behind pious children. They made righteous deeds. They did good deeds. They made dua for you after you have passed on. And this is the result that you are seeing an increase in your good deeds. Ya Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes here in this world and make them provisions for us in the year after that will tilt the scale of good deeds in our favor, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, never let us see the difficulty of our children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when they become marital age, Ya Allah, grant them compatible spouses, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of us who have children, Ya Allah, our grandchildren, Ya Allah, protect our grandchildren, Ya Allah. Protect them from calamities and protect them from all times of fitna. Ya Allah, those of us who have children and the children, Ya Allah, who are unable to conceive or don't have children, Ya Allah, bless them with pious children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not deprive them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant them pious children, Ya Allah, out of your qudrat and out of your power, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant them pious children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, above all, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes. And Ya Allah, grant them all types of happiness. Grant them all types of goodness, both in this world and the year after. قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام.